We moved in March 1st of 2022, and within 7 days, I all of a sudden began to develop rashes and eczema and sore throats and sinus pain and postnasal drip and brain fog and fatigue, and just the list kind of went on and on and on.
My name is Michael Rubino.
I'm on a personal mission to make sure you don't get sick inside your own home.
I knew there was something wrong. I'm just so relieved there's something that you can do about it.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode here. I'm your host, Michael Rubino, and today's very special guest is Kristen. Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to be here with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So when was it that you first figured out that air quality is extremely important for our health?
I think it would probably be in regards to just, general living. When I lived in Colorado, we had a lot of forest fires and things like that. So that was probably when air quality began to be a little bit more of a item on my radar, so to speak. We got air purifiers and things like that because of the forest fires. But in relation to mold, it was probably when we moved into a new house and I began to feel sick right away within 7 days.
Interesting. So you actually became a little more educated than the average person due to the forest fires and all that, all the smoke and particles that come with that. So that kind of turned onto your radar. But you said then mold and this new home kind of changed things even further. So let's take a step back. So when you're buying air purifiers and stuff for the smoke, was mold ever really on your radar at that point?
Not at all. Not something I was concerned with by any means. And we weren't even purchasing really high quality air purifiers at the time. We were just buying ones off of Amazon that had good listing and ratings, just because the air quality was so poor. It was like living in a campfire all the time otherwise.
So like before, you know, this new home, air quality in your mind was like, okay, Amazon air purifiers to protect us against the smoke from the forest fires.
Yep.
And now we have a whole new perspective on air quality even further now today. Okay. So let's talk about this house. You move into this house, you get sick, it sounds like. What did that look like?
We moved in March 1st of 2022, and it was a house built in the 1920s in an older neighborhood in Buffalo, New York. And within 7 days, I all of a sudden began to develop rashes and eczema and sore throats and sinus pain and postnasal drip and brain fog and fatigue. And just the list kind of went on and on and on. And it was because of my previous diagnosis of Hashimoto's and all the work I've done for my health. I feel like I'm fairly well in touch with my autoimmune disease and my general symptoms. So all of a sudden having, you know, what did I just list, maybe like 8 to 10 symptoms develop within a 1 week time frame, I knew something was going on.
Yeah, that's a good bag of symptoms there.
Yeah.
So you have 8 to 10 symptoms, you're not feeling well within 7 days of moving in. What do you do?
My husband and I began to, you know, just kind of have conversations. Like I went to urgent care, got tested for, you know, COVID and the flu, just to make sure that some of the symptoms may not have been related to something along those lines. And then I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner. So just because of my colleagues and the different things I, you know, hear in the industry, pretty quickly went to the conclusion that this has to be mold. We also did notice a leak within the first week of moving in. And so I jumped to conclusions in a sense, but I think it was a pretty educated guess in a way.
Wow. Well, that is good and impressive, because most people that I talk to, it takes them like many years, many different doctors to finally figure out that their problem is their home. So yeah. You figured out pretty quickly.
Yes, I would say that my my experience, my education, and everything really led me to be more on top of it than most, in a sense. And quite honestly, I didn't even rely on doctors, just because I knew that would be really expensive. And I kind of had a pretty good feeling, a really good gut feeling in a sense.
Okay. So tell us how your gut feelings turned into reality, right? So you had to have figured out, you saw a leak, obviously. It's a good, pretty good sign. Where did that intuition meet science? What did you do next?
We called the rental company that was managing the property we were living in, and they sent someone out, and it was a gentleman who had worked for a flood response company previously. So we felt that just based on his prior experience, he was fairly knowledgeable. He came and took one look at the property and said, "Oh yeah, there's definitely mold here. We'll get a remediation company in right away." And so that felt pretty good. But then we also decided to hire third-party testing against the rental management company's wishes, just because I wanted more conclusive evidence, just based on everything that was going on with my health.
And I would too. I mean, the first guy's like, there's definitely mold here. We're going to get a remediation company right away. And remediate what exactly?
Yeah, exactly. So we had the third party testing company come in. This gentleman seemed fairly well educated. He did, air testing and took some samples and did things along those lines. My husband has a somewhat scientific background as well and works with a lot of different labs. So we did, I don't even remember what they're called, the little Petri type dishes to check mold as well. I know those don't tend to be quite as conclusive.
Sure.
Or accurate.
But it's a start.
Yeah. And so based on the results, we knew that there was catomium, some penicillium, different things going on in the basement, outside of just the visible mold that you could see. So we had some decent evidence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You used the word seemed. You said the guy seemed knowledgeable and intelligent.
Yeah.
And so when you use that word, it kind of means that, it wasn't as good as you thought. What happened there?
So the gentleman who ran the environmental testing company, he was young, I think. He had some good background, but when it came to, based on the research I began doing after the fact, he was just taking general air tests kind of in an open area, and not necessarily going to where the sources may possibly be, or kind of digging a little bit deeper, which I think based on things that I've read on your website or heard in podcasts or things like that, you have to be a little bit more of a detective when it comes to mold.
Damn really straight.
Yeah, you have to find the source. You have to really dig into it. And so he was just taking air tests in the middle of the basement, which we did get evidence of mold. So in a sense, it worked, but we just know maybe it was much worse than what we were.
Much worse, probably much worse. Yeah. I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. It's every story is this guy came in, he did a bunch of air samples and might've found something here or there, but most often doesn't find really where the problems are.
Right.
Get a lot of false sense of security, right?
Yeah, we only scratched the surface, where I'm sure there was a gold mine somewhere in that basement or somewhere in the walls.
A mold mine.
Yes, exactly. 100-year-old homes,
Yeah. So he doesn't find all the problems. The first guy wants to send remediators out there to do God knows what with no protocol or plan. Mm-hmm. So what happens from there?
We ended up having a bunch of different companies, remediation companies, come in and give quotes, in addition to this company that the rental management company wanted to send in. And the rental management company's quote was far less than all the companies that we were calling in to do the remediation.
They were just going to come in and wish it away, right?
Right. And the remediation companies, because now we have these test results in the state of New York, I'm not super well versed on the legalities about everything, but I guess in the state of New York, when you have testing done and they give a scope of work that's necessary, the remediation companies and the owner of the property have to legally follow this. And I could be wrong on the legalities of it, but the rental management company didn't want us having that third party testing done. They didn't want us to call anyone ourselves. They wanted to manage it all on their own. And they wanted to use the lowest quote possible, which was kind of this bro deal in a sense through the guy who used to work for the company. So they did end up utilizing that company. That company came in and used a product called Calibrite. So they didn't really remove anything. All they did was spray this Calibrite product all over the basement. And that was the remediation that was done initially.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely wasteful.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very baffled just about everything, because we had all these remediators come in and give prices, and I don't understand exactly what they gave prices on anyhow, because it doesn't sound like we found all the problems yet at this point.
Right. And some of the remediation companies did look a little bit deeper than the gentleman who did the environmental testing. So A, they walked in, they could see the mold on the rafters, they could see problems. And then some of them even like pulled away at like, there was drywall in this one corner of the basement that was up against the walls. There was clear mold damage there. So some of them did, the remediators did dig a little bit deeper and were like, we need to remove all of this. We need to do these things. We need to do that. And it was more in depth than anything we'd heard so far from the gentleman who did the actual testing to the guy from the rental management company and things along those lines.
Man. Oh boy. Yeah. So they go in and they spray Calibrite.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I have no idea what that is, but there's so many products out there. I'm going to assume it's some sort of antimicrobial, which without mechanical means does absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically they sprayed water with like 1% of thymol or 2% of some chemical,
mm-hmm.
which will do absolutely nothing without removing the mold.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens.
Yes. And after this time frame, like I had already kind of taken my health into my own hands. And because of my background in nutritional therapy, I have access to really great supplement companies and things along those lines. So I started a mold detox protocol. And that seemed to have an effect right away, which was really beneficial. But still, like the house, we didn't feel safe in. My husband and I, since we'd only started experiencing these issues within the first weeks of moving in, we didn't even finish unpacking. Like we still had boxes piled to the ceiling in some areas of the house because we were like, we just don't know what's going on. And then one day a handyman that was hired by the owners of the property was at the house. And my husband happened to mention the mold issues. And the handyman was like, what are you talking about? So the owners of the property had never been informed that there was a mold issue, that there was a remediation that occurred. They didn't know what they'd paid for or anything along those lines. So this handyman became our kind of third party, like
liaison.
Yeah, exactly. Our liaison to the owners. And one of the owners happened to have been a doctor and was like, no, we're going to remediate it. So the handyman ended up doing all the remediation, but he did it to a better scope than, and we gave him the scope of work from the original testing, and we told him what the other remediation companies had mentioned, et cetera. So we left on vacation for 2 weeks and we came home to a house that was remediated. And in that time, actually, I had had a consultation with you and you had recommended using Benefect and, you know, a couple of other things as well. So we arrived home, and by the way, every time we left on a weekend away or a vacation or things along those lines, I started feeling better. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking to keep coming back to a house where I was going to start feeling sick again. But we came back from this vacation when the house had been remediated. And ironically, with the detox and everything I was doing and the remediation, I actually did start to feel better in the home.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
And you found probably one of the best handymen on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, he even, like, utilized, like, he created his own vacuum system to, like, suck air out of the basement while he was doing the work. So it wasn't going through the ventilation system. And so that like the whole upper hot part of the house was sealed off. And obviously we were out of town, so we weren't running the air conditioning or ventilation systems at all during that time. So
that's great.
It was a much better situation. Obviously it could have been done better than it was, I'm sure. But I think we were fortunate enough to feel okay staying there, particularly because I started feeling better as well.
That's amazing. I mean, that's the most important part. You do this to feel better, right?
Yeah.
So that's crazy. So the management company get kind of fired in the process, or?
The gentleman who had come over and initially told us that he was going to get it managed. He saw the mold. He was going to have this, the company he used to work for, come over and do the remediation. He did end up getting let go from that company. We didn't have anything to do with it, really. But next thing we knew, he wasn't there anymore.
Rightfully so. I mean, he didn't tell the owner what's going on. He just like hires this random person that he used to work with and sprays this product all over the place and thinks that's remediation. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
And so then you started feeling better when you got back.
Yes. Started feeling better. In addition to that, we borrowed an ozone generator. My husband had done some research and heard that utilizing an ozone generator can help to decrease mold spores, I believe. And then in addition to that, we got Air Doctor air purifiers. So we kind of ordered the biggest and the baddest ones because we were like, whatever, we just need
clean air.
Yeah, exactly. The best air possible. Because we knew that obviously it probably, the situation wasn't fixed. It was more of almost a Band-Aid. We also did the air duct cleaning and vacuuming out of the air ducts.
Good.
And we used, Benefect throughout most of the house and had the carpets cleaned professionally, which I feel like sometimes you're like, oh, that's wetting the carpets. It could make it worse. But at the same time, maybe we were removing some of the issue too. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're cleaning it will yield some result, right? I mean, there's too many variables to discuss efficacy right here, right now. But if you feel better, right, then you had improved the space enough to where your specific body could heal.
Yeah.
We're all different. You know, I might need all the carpets gone. You might not, right? I've had clients that have like, I'm not removing these carpets. And like miraculously, they feel better, you know, if they do everything else, right? So there's no right or wrong, It's making these decisions based upon data and then based upon how we feel, and can always go further if you want to, and if you need to, but in this case you didn't.
Right.
So you start feeling better. You're detoxing. Things are going in the right direction. And are you still living there now?
No. So we moved out, at the end of March, of 2023. So we did end up completing our whole lease just because at the time we realized we weren't going to be staying in Buffalo, New York. So we didn't want to sign another full year lease. And with me feeling better, we decided we were going to roll the dice and just stay there through the end of it. And so now we have moved out since then.
Good. And the new place is good too. Still healing.
I am pregnant now, so I have had to scale back on the detoxification, obviously, because that's not healthy to do during pregnancy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Between my Hashimoto's and the mold, we weren't sure how getting pregnant would be. And we got very, very fortunate that we didn't really hit any hurdles, which, knock on wood, maybe it was the detox. Maybe it's my focus on health, all of these things. But we have, since we moved into this new place, found a few slight mold situations. But again, with all of our knowledge, we feel like we've done the best to remove the problem, clean it and remediate. I mean, and they've all been really small type things, like a leak behind the refrigerator and some potential mold in the back of a toilet, which I know can be a big red flag or sign. But between all of this, we think we've done our best for the time being.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about this is that things don't have to be perfect, right? For us to have a healthy environment. we just have to make sure we're taking the right steps. You now having the education that you have through living the nightmare that you have, you're way more conscious than the average person. So you're way more on top of things. So the likelihood of things becoming a big problem for you are going to be pretty minimal. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas not everybody is as fortunate because it's not on their radar. Mm-hmm. So problems build up, then they start spreading through the mechanical system. And now all of a sudden, you know, one day they wake up and they realize, oh my God, I feel horrible. Not the way I've been feeling. And it's such a slow degradation, our health typically, that you just wake up one day and you're like, why do I feel like this?
Absolutely.
I mean, what happened to me, you know, 2 years ago, I had to do this whole detox thing myself because I don't know, probably first off, I grew up in a moldy place. I had asthma as a kid. As soon as I moved out of, you know, New York City and into New Jersey, all of a sudden I'm no longer asthmatic. Inhaler is gone. Right. So I knew that I grew up in a not great environment. I could picture being there, and I've actually driven by there as an adult. And I'm like, I've lived in this place. Wow. The crazy part about this is, like, you know, all the years of exposure I go into people's homes, right? You know, it catches up with you. And so I did this detox about 2 years ago, started feeling amazing. It's probably time for me to do another one pretty soon, actually, because you know, you know, when the way you feel right after a detox, it's almost like $1 million feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, I ask myself every day, do I still feel like that $1 million feeling? I'm not quite sure. Maybe I should do it to see, actually, because that's how it happens. It's like such a slow degradation day by day, by day, by day, that you're just like, huh, how do I feel?
Yeah.
Because if you're not like, it's if it's not blaringly obvious that you're sick, right? You have all these symptoms. It's kind of hard to tell, like, do I have a symptom? Am I just getting older? Am I tired because my kids are absolutely bananas? You know, what could it be?
Yeah.
And it's hard to know, you know? So I'd say, like, probably a good time to check.
Absolutely. And I think my situation where I started to feel sick within, you know, 7 to 10 days of moving in and kind of immediately pinpointed the issue. I don't know if it was pure luck or what it was. Like I said, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on my health. And so all of a sudden, all those symptoms drumming up. And I mean, the longer, like before the remediation started, before I started detoxing, even more symptoms started to happen. Like I began to experience like neuropathy in my legs and things along those lines, which some of the types of mold that showed up in the house have the potential of having neuropathy as a symptom. So it was really interesting. But yeah, like, again, that was a little bit of a slower increase in symptoms, despite the fact that it happened over a couple of months. But it is really interesting that sometimes you don't notice that slow and steady creep of symptoms until all of a sudden you feel like you're practically bedridden and you feel so unwell. It's very, very interesting.
You know what's real crazy about all of this? Like, have you ever seen those posts I've done on like mold in relation to Hashimoto's or like mold in relation to Lyme? Like, mm-hmm. I think I could probably do one for every illness on the planet that we know of, because when you start looking at the research and the data, you'll find like one study that's looking at this. I mean, inhalational Alzheimer's, early onset of dementia, Hashimoto's, Lyme disease, like name anything, right? Arrhythmic arthritis. I mean, anything. It's like you will find some sort of correlation with fungus and how, you know, when we talk about cause or exacerbation, right? That like, that's a whole big thing in and of itself. My theory is I don't give a damn whether it causes or exacerbates, because if I feel like crap because of mold being in my environment, whether I have a label or not, I want it gone, right? Yeah. I don't need to sit here and study causation or exacerbation or what, you know, what's the difference? Like, if I don't feel well, I don't feel well. If I'm going to feel better with it gone, then I want it gone, right?
Absolutely.
It's just really that simple. And to study causation, it's going to be a pretty big challenge, because we're going to have to literally subdue people to mold and study what it causes them to identify causation, right? And even if you do that, they're still going to say, well, maybe it's something else.
Yeah. I mean, and there are so many factors. And like you said, you listed all of these different, you know, health issues. I think it really comes down to like our body's stress bucket. You know, your body can handle only so much until your quote unquote stress bucket starts to overflow. And then you develop symptoms for a disease. And again, like in the medical, like US medical institutions, they don't tend to consider mold or mold illness or mold toxicity a piece of that. So you get treated for all of these other things rather than potentially looking at something that seems like it's glaringly obvious sometimes, you know?
Well, you're right. They don't consider it. Well, this is a problem with consideration. Yeah. We have advancements in medical technology. We have advancements in medicine, right? True or false compared to 20 years ago?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, true.
Irrefutable. Irrefutable. Okay. But why is autoimmune disease on the rise? Why is the global population getting sicker? 60% of the global population has at least one chronic illness. 40% of the population, multiple chronic illness. 74% of U.S. adults are on one prescription medication. Mm-hmm. The 19% increase from the last time, I think it was 2019. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point being, we're getting sicker with advancements in medicine and technology. How is that possible?
Yeah.
Why? You know why it's possible? Because they're not considering what is actually causing this illness. Yeah. What could be exacerbating these symptoms? They're not considering it. Because it's just not the norm. The norm is, what are your symptoms? Okay, we're going to do some blood work. Okay, you have this, whatever this is. You have this. And for this, my friend, you will take pill B. Okay? Yeah. And just take pill B and you will feel better. Where's the plan to get off of pill B? Never mind that. Right now, this step, we're taking pill B. Maybe one day you won't need it. Today is not the day.
Right.
That's the whole system. I mean, I think in a nutshell, I did a pretty good job summarizing.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, symptom chasing, band-aids with, you know, pharmaceuticals and things along those lines versus trying to find a root cause and digging deeper into each individual's health and really playing detective. So, yeah.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be detective for the human being, right? Mm-hmm. Just like how I'm a detective for the home. Trying to figure out what's causing these opportunities for these things to be abnormal, right? Why do these abnormal conditions exist? Well, in the human body, when we don't feel well, we have abnormal conditions that exist, right? It's not normal for people to have brain fog or chronic fatigue or headaches or eczema or all these different symptoms, right? Not normal. Do we agree? I wasn't born that way. So it can't be normal.
Yeah.
So if it's not normal, these are abnormal conditions. In my opinion, the way doctors are now, which is very, you know, let's figure out, let's diagnose you and then let's treat you that diagnosis. That's just how it is. Okay. What it should be is let's figure out why you have these abnormal conditions. What's creating the opportunity for these abnormal conditions to exist? And then let's handle it. I don't know. That's just how I think it should go. But I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a visionary here.
I mean, I agree. I end up playing detective with my clients as well when they come in with all sorts of different things. And, you know, you have to really listen to everything they're saying. I don't think that that's the norm anymore when it comes to, you know, mainstream medicine in a sense.
It's not the norm, you know? Yeah. You know, when people die, we do an autopsy, right? And the whole point is to figure out cause of death. And these numbers and these, you know, systems of how people die help us understand, right, that part of that phase of life and might help us understand, you know, what negative things that affect human beings might cause people to die, right? Good information to have since we want to, you know, become healthier human beings. But is it possible for them to test for everything when they autopsy? No. So how much stuff do we miss? I can tell you this. They're not testing for fungus on every autopsy.
No.
And I can tell you this, if they do test for it, not even testing in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany Murphy's autopsy, I had the chance to look at. I did this show on Vice TV and I was interviewed. Okay. I looked at the autopsy.
Yeah.
They tested for fungus later. And it was only because of the big media stink around maybe mold played a part in this. They tested the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Why the heart?
Yeah.
They tested the outer lung tissue. Okay, but I'm not a doctor, okay? But I know when I take a breath, it's going inner lung.
Yeah.
Right? Inner lung. And I don't even think they tested for fungus on the outer lung, but they tested the outer lung.
Yeah.
Or something. And then the inner lung would be where the impact would be. That's where the deposits on the lung wall would be, right? That would be the perfect place to test. But they didn't test there. It tested outer lung. Okay. And I don't even think it was for fungus. I think it was something else. And then they tested the heart for fungus 100%.
Yeah.
By the way, they found fungus. Okay. But it still wasn't like it was the fungus they tested for wasn't a fungus that we would typically see indoors anyhow. So it really was kind of a pointless test, to be honest.
Yeah.
I digress. The point being, we're not looking at this stuff. So if we're not looking, if we're not considering the possibility, and we're not testing this stuff to actually understand how big of a role does it play? I think it plays a huge role, by the way.
Yeah.
Then we won't be able to give that information to doctors and scientists and people so that people can use that information to live happier, healthier lives.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, we have a problem. This is the current state of affairs. Now, there are amazing people doing great work. There are hundreds of medical journals, white papers, peer-reviewed literature on the topic of indoor environmental toxins like mold, like bacteria that can be in water-damaged environments that are wreaking havoc on our health. And what's really interesting, bringing us full circle back to the first point, was it affects Hashimoto's, it affects inhalational Alzheimer's and dementia, subtype 3 of Alzheimer's. It affects Lyme disease, affects all these different things.
Yeah.
So, again, bet whether it causes or exacerbates, I'm not here to solve that argument. I can never solve that argument. But the point is, we are getting sicker. And if what I think the data will show, and this is a theory of mine, this isn't factual, what I think the data will show is I think that what we're going to learn in the future when we decide to learn it is that environmental toxins affect us all individually differently. And for me, I might express symptoms that might say I have Hashimoto's. For someone else, they might display symptoms that might say they have Lyme disease. For maybe my parents, they might express symptoms that say they have inhalational Alzheimer's. Same things affecting each individual differently. That's what I think we're going to learn. This is a theory, not factual.
I mean, I agree to, you know, that sort of a thing. And in addition, I mean, just the general decline of health in America, you know, based on so many different things, you know, our lifestyles, our diets, you know, exposure to things like mold. We're only getting sicker, just like you said. So until we begin to pay attention to that, maybe have more government regulations around certain things regarding, you know, food sources, food quality, ingredients, additives, things along those lines, in addition to, you know, just a better focus on healthier lifestyles, hustle culture in America is killing us. So there's so many different things, that can play a big role in our health in America. And
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my clients come to me and they're just like, I can't keep up with all of these different things. And I'm like, well, you're not supposed to. It's not the way we're supposed to be living in the first place.
Well, is that I don't blame your client. There are way too many things to keep up with, you know. I eat avocados and artichokes and hearts of palm. You know, I had butter in my coffee. Now I don't have butter in my coffee. And it's very confusing, you know, all the things that I have to learn and unlearn and relearn. Okay, yeah. I take 10,000 steps a day. I exercise, right? I get good sleep. I do all the things. And these are things that we learn through time, through different studies, right? That you should do these things. And then, of course, like a month later, it'll be a new study. It is like, you shouldn't do that. Just do a little less, but it's okay. It's very confusing out there to be healthy because there's just too many things. Red light therapy, saunas. Like, where do you start and stop? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you weren't feeling well, you obviously are in the know, right? You do all the things to be healthy and you weren't feeling well, which highlights my point here, right? What exactly were you doing? Like, were you exercising? Were you eating right? You know, like, tell me all the things you were doing to be healthy.
Absolutely. So I was eating gluten-free, dairy-free, more of kind of like a paleo-based diet in a sense. Higher quality, you know, foods. I utilize organic whenever possible. And if not, I utilize like the list from EWG, the daily dirty dozen list. So anything that's listed in the dirty dozen are things that are higher in pesticides. So those items I purchase organic always. And then anything else that's on their clean 15 list, I purchase, you know, conventional if need be. But my lifestyle was pretty healthy, you know, generally a pretty active person. Previously I was living in Colorado, so there was lots of hiking, mountain biking, skiing, you know, just generally being outside, getting a healthy amount of sunlight, all of these different things. Moving to Buffalo, things became a little bit different just because it was still a little COVID-y. There weren't as many outdoor activities that I could really, you know, dive into. So my movement changed a little bit, but I was still getting a fair amount of activity, et cetera, in. And then when I got sick, I ended up utilizing an elimination diet to remove even more inflammatory items from my diet to see if anything else was causing triggers. Because with, I mean, again, we didn't have conclusively that it was mold initially. So I was kind of trialing and erroring different things to make sure I was doing the best that I could. And so really, really dug into my diet even more. Ended up purchasing one of those little home saunas to sauna with, started doing red light therapy as well. And yeah, I mean, we got the air purifiers, the higher quality ones. We weren't just using the Amazon ones anymore. We were doing all of the things, and then made even more changes. And that's really when I began to see even more benefits. But I mean, prior to feeling better, I felt like I was doing all the things anyhow. And then this mold of education, if you will, for better or worse, taught me even more things that I could be doing to help support my health.
So just to summarize here, doing all the things, you are healthy. Move into this place, just completely knocks you on your butt and you are now no longer feeling healthy.
Right. Felt terrible.
Then you fix the house and then essentially start biohacking, detoxing, and doing all the things to remove this stuff from your body. And then you're once again feeling healthy.
Yes.
And think about the billions of people that are feeling unhealthy that are not looking at their air quality. That are trying all the things.
Yeah.
Those are the people that bother me the most, I think, because there's no reason why we shouldn't be taught this. There's no reason why they shouldn't be studying this more, appropriating more money, figuring out more solutions, changing systems that allow the opportunity for these homes and buildings to become so problematic.
Yeah. I would love for contractors or, you know, people in the kind of like building industry to have some sort of knowledge around mold. Just because you mention it to people and people are like, oh yeah, it's fine. Just paint over it. No big deal. Yeah. You know, things
along not hard lines. Either. You know how easy this would be? So every state has a contractor's license.
Yeah.
Every state is going to require them to have some sort of education on building a home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Add 5 questions on mold.
Exactly.
Make them have to get an education on mold to be able to answer those 5 questions that impact all of our freaking health. Not hard. Not rocket science. I mean, the things that I want to change in America and the world, not hard to change.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, practical things we can do. Some stuff, yeah, is some systems need to be broken down and rebuilt. Mainly insurances, health insurance, home insurance. But we can do it. We can do hard things.
Absolutely.
We do hard things all the time.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, you know, we have to do something different. We have never been sicker. You experienced that personally.
Yes.
And you see it on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
With people coming to you with illness.
Oh, 100%.
So I want to end off more positive because I know, you know, this stuff can get pretty negative. And I think the point is, you know, I'm very passionate about this, which you may be able to see. And we have to discuss negative things sometimes to get the positive outcome that we want. Right. And so this is what I'm hopefully tactfully trying to do here, where people can pick up on that. I want to ask you, you know, there are so many people struggling with the same things you struggle with and didn't have the insight that you had, and the insight that you now have even more than when you had then.
Right.
What advice would you give to somebody who may have been experiencing similar challenges than when you experienced?
I would say start with the basics. You know, first, obviously like diet, lifestyle, things like that are really important, but also then, you know, trust your gut. If you see an issue, like a mold issue, or you feel new or different symptoms, I mean, even keeping track of things is really important. You know, like I have a timeline of how I started feeling poorly and knew exactly the dates and everything that occurred. So my advice is to not ignore, you know, health issues, to keep track of it and, you know, listen to your gut. And it can be very challenging when you are feeling that poorly and you don't know where to go, don't know where to turn, but there's always hope. You can always feel better. Even starting with, you know, basics, like using a sauna, using binders or things like that can really help and be beneficial. And that's super basic and really inexpensive for the most part.
Totally agree. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And I have another interesting question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So knowing what you know now, let's go back to the woman that you were when you just thought air quality was forest fires and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that person to give them advice to, you know, just take control of your health?
Again, I mean, start small. It's small steps are the kind of the most important, because again, when we look at these, you know, sort of health changes and, you know, the education I've had since that point in time, you know, 5-7 years ago, the things I've done in that time frame are huge. And if you told me to do all those things all at once, it would be extremely overwhelming. So baby steps, really small, like little bite-sized things are the best way to go, because changing everything overnight is going to feel absolutely impossible. But when you make the small steps and you educate yourself slowly but surely over time, A, you'll start to feel better, and B, it's way less overwhelming.
Yeah. Always key to take things on a gradient. Awesome. Well, Kristen, this has been fantastic. You know, thank you for being on here, taking time out of your busy day, sharing your story, helping us really educate people on all the things regarding air quality and then dealing with the body after you fix air quality, right? It can be overwhelming, as you said, and taking the steps you can take is very important. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to you, ask any questions?
The best would be The Maven Way is my Instagram handle, and happy to answer questions there. And that is THEMAVENWAY, The Maven Way. And then also Kristen at themavenway.com. Happy to answer questions there as well.
Cool. Thank you so much once again, and be well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much.